The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome to William Hill's Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn joined by Stephen Powell to look ahead to the best of Tuesday's action. And what a Tuesday it is. It is, of course, the first day of the Punchestown Festival. We're going to look at three contests there. And we've also got a Monday jury for you. So plenty to look forward to. How are you, Mr. Powell?
I've been in better form, Alex, actually.
Full of cold, aren't you?
Yeah, a bit sniffly, a bit of a tickly cough. So you'll have to have the edit button ready just in case I... You know,
sneeze everywhere.
Basically, yeah.
Lovely.
But other than that, I'm fine. I don't feel ill.
No,
I just sound a little bit nasal.
Well, you do anyway.
So well, oh, thanks.
No change there. As I said, we're going to look at three contests at Punchestown. But first, we're going to go through the Monday jury. Obviously, stolen from the Racing Post, but don't tell them because we haven't. We start with question number one. Starting with Punchestown, who wins Wednesday's Gold Cup? Before you answer that, I'm going to give you some betting for it. 11-4 joint favourites, Boston Bob and On His Own. 9-2 First Lieutenant. 7-1 for Argo Cat, Long Run and Lyrene Legend. 12s Morning Assembly. 33s or bigger the rest. Pretty strong hand here for Andrea and Graham Wiley.
Yes, they have, obviously, with On His Own and Boston Bob. On His Own, first of all, a horse who had been very promising for years, been sent off favourite for the National and was still travelling really well when he fell, and this season he's just seemed to have really clicked. Well, more this year, even his form up until the end of the year wasn't very good, but he won the Thyestes off top weights, which was his second win in the race. Then he won well at Punchestown, at Fairy House, before going to Cheltenham, and obviously was unlucky in the Gold Cap, you know, whichever side of the fence you sit on about whether he was the moral winner or not, he was a good performance. And based on those last four efforts, he's got a very strong chance. But there's just something about him that I just think that he might find one too good, or he'll run well, but I'm still not convinced he's completely top class, because I don't think the Gold Cap was a very strong form race. He's beat a small field at Fairy House, and so arguably his best performance was winning Thyestes off top weight in a handicap. And I'm not convinced that's going to be quite good enough.
Okay, but you wouldn't exactly say that that there's one horse sort of that smacks you in the face here.
No, there isn't. That's
there's
the problem.
A few that you could make a case against everything.
Well, yeah, make a case for most of them as well.
Yeah,
to be fair,
it's tricky.
On the subject of making case against horses, Boston Bob is a horse that I like very much. I backed him at Cheltenham in the Ryanair because I thought the trip would really suit him and the race would. And he didn't run that well, to be fair. He ran all right, just sort of keeping on at the end. So I left him alone in Aintree, and obviously he won and won pretty well over 2.5. And he's still never won over further than 2 miles and 5 furlongs. And that concerns me. Whenever he's run over 3 miles or further, either he's been outstayed, which he was in the Albert Bartlett a couple of years ago, or, I mean, he fell in the RSA. I'm in the camp that thinks he probably would have held on, but a lot of people don't think he would have done in the RSA. So I'm just concerned in a good test, 3 miles 1 at Punchestown might stretch him a little.
Okay. Then we've got First Lieutenant in at 9-2.
Now, I like First Lieutenant.
Just steady.
Yeah, he's just all right, isn't he? And that could be good enough, I think.
Probably the each way bet in the race at 9-2, you'd imagine,
yeah,
wouldn't you?
Yeah, because he runs his race. I don't think Aintree really suited him completely last time, although he should have done, having ran well there the year before. I still associate him with decent ground, jumping well, this sort of time of year suiting him. And so I think at the moment, out of the top three, he's the one that I'd probably side with.
Okay.
And then of the others,
Well, we've got Argo Cat, Long Run, Lyrene Legend at 7s and Morning Assembly at 12s. A real mix there of...
Yeah. Morning Assembly is declared in the Novice Chase on Tuesday, and we'll discuss him shortly. And he jocked up there as well. So I presume he's probably not going to run on Wednesday. Long Run... I don't know anymore about Long Run, really. I mean, he was very enthusiastic and exuberant in the Grand National, and it was great to see him springing along until he took one liberty too many. But none the worse, comes back, obviously missed Cheltenham as well, having got his confidence boosted at Kelso before. Again, he ran well in this race last year, but he's not the same horse that he was last year, and he does need to bounce back. Whilst Argo Cat, again, he's a horse who... He's got decent level of form, but I'm just not sure he's up to...
Surely not good enough.
Exactly. Yeah, he's grade one form. He's not sufficient enough to win this. So really, you are left with a... I mean, Lyrene Legend's interesting.
Yeah, I thought that.
He ran well in the Gold Cup, actually. He was disputing the lead two out and then just weakened up the hill. So coming back in trip on a less demanding track, had a nice break into the Gold Cup as well. He and First Lieutenant are the ones that interest me.
Okay, fair enough. So, if I was pushed, I think I'd go on his own, but 11 to 4 isn't the most tempting.
Yeah, that's what I mean, yeah. So, his form, his second in the Gold Cup is obviously good form, but whether it's good enough to win this, I'm not sure, really, because he's... You take out his last three runs, and you'd be like, he's not good enough. His form is nowhere near good enough to win this. So it's only because of those last three runs, particularly the Gold Cup run, so... I haven't made my mind up about On His Own.
Okay.
I'm not sure he can be getting any better at the age of 11.
No, true. But First Lieutenant and Lyrene Legend for you.
They're the two that interest me, yeah.
Okay, look. Next question. The Racing Post Champion Hurdle on Friday from Punchestown looks to be pretty much a match between Jeski and Hurricane Fly. Which one do you think is going to come out on top?
Hurricane Fly.
Agreed.
So I was very anti-Hurricane Fly at Cheltenham, but back at his beloved Ireland at Punchestown, he's won at this meeting, I think, 4 or 5 years in a row. I just think back at Punchestown, he will be hard to beat for Jeski, particularly as well because AP is going to be back on Jeski as far as we know, not Barry, who rode him at Punchestown, at Cheltenham. And whilst, obviously, there's nothing to take away from AP, I just think... Barry probably clicks a little bit better with him. He's unbeaten.
Well, you
on
just
him.
Get those horses, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. So
there's not many people would say Richie McLernan's a better jockey than AP McCoy, but on horses like, say, John Spirit,
gets
on well with him, it clicks, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So so that puts me off Jeski as well. So Hurricane Fly.
Okay. Next up, how would you campaign Otoy winner under Soul next season? Obviously. Reasonably impressive. It was sort of.
It was more impressive than the time before.
Yeah.
At Otoy. Still a bit miffed, really, why they've ran him there and not just ran him in the champion or in the Irish Punchestown champion.
It seems like that.
I don't know if they're scared for him.
He just hasn't had the chance, really, to come up against top quality horses yet. Yeah. So we still don't know how good he is.
That's what I mean. I don't know if they're scared of him in the sense that he will wipe the floor with Hurricane Fly, Annie Power, etc., or if they're scared that it will push him over the edge in a race like that sort of thing because he's so keen. And
they could also just be thinking more long-term.
Yeah, they could. That's a fair shout. And they probably are, and obviously with a view to that next season, I would probably go hurdling on the basis of what you've just said about we still don't know how good he is. And Hurricane Fly, although I think he'll win Friday, he's not going to be going on forever, is he? And arguably now at the age of 10, he might slowly start to just downgrade a little bit. They've got Votour as well. It's tough, really. If it was mine, I'd go hurdling.
Okay. We'll switch codes now. We'll talk about some flat racing before we preview three contests at Punchestown. Trev, what did you make of Trev at Longchamp? Just going down, just edged out by Sirius de Zegler. Really, really thrilling race.
Oh, tremendous.
But you couldn't be annoyed with Trev.
No.
It's not like she
did anything.
She didn't bottle it. She didn't throw the towel in.
She stuck in and tried to do her best, which for a filly who's raced five times against a gelding who's twice her age, been round the world, and has had...
And had two runs already this season.
Ten times as many runs. I think it was a pretty good effort, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't think Frankie watching it back would probably maybe ride a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. And also I think the pacemaking tactics with Melda Creasy weren't executed overly well. But in terms of her performance, I would expect her to be reversing the form if they meet at Royal Ascot.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with that.
And it wouldn't surprise me if she's unbeaten for the rest of the season either.
Okay.
Better ground, and ridden to utilise her turn of foot, which I don't think Frankie really did at Longshore.
It does mean that you'll probably get a bit of value about Trev if she does go to Ascot now, because just purely from, if you're a bookmaker pricing that up,
you'd think
an unbeaten horse,
or maybe I can take her on, it's going to be quite a bit beaten.
Yeah, but if you look at the actual form of it and the reasons why,
clear of the third,
exactly.
So for me, if anything, I would actually go as far as say my respect for her was enhanced a bit more, because it's the first time she's had to fight, and against a horse like Sirius de Zegel, it's a difficult first time out fight.
Yeah.
And she performed creditably, I thought.
Okay, next question. Can Western Hymn make a splash in the Derby after his Sandown win?
My instinct is no.
Definitely not.
I think it'd be his position in the pecking order will be...
It was an awful race.
Lost quite rapidly once we get past Chester and York.
We've got 5-2 for Australia, 5-1 Kingston Hill, 8-1 True Story, 12 for Western Hymn, 16s or bigger the rest. I didn't like the race at Sandown. I don't think it... yes, it got the job done okay.
Yeah, and I think in time it will be a nice horse. Oh, yeah. It'll be a group horse.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think it'll win some nice races. But I think maybe like the Edward VII at Royal Ascot, the Voltage or races like that will be, you know... Personally, if it was mine... I know the Derby's the Derby. It depends how realistic they want to be. Personally, I don't think he'll win the Derby, but he could win something like the German Derby or... You know, something like that. Something that's a good race, worth a lot of money, but not the Derby.
Okay. Last but not least, no pressure here, but just give us the winners of the 1,000 and 2,000 guineas, please.
Have we got a little bit of betting for them?
We do. We'll start with the 1,000 guineas.
Okay. Ladies first.
Rosina, 7-2, 8-1 for 5 horses. Itamar, Lucky Crystal, Miss France, My Titania, and Tapestry. 12s for Bracelet, 14s or bigger the rest. I'm going to jump in before you can here and say I'm very keen on Itamar.
Itamar, the Godolphin filly. Mm. Yeah, she was very impressive in Dubai, wasn't she? Very impressive indeed. The Dubai to Newmarket angle isn't one that's worked out particularly well over the course of the years, but it was hard not to be impressed by her, to be fair. I'd have preferred her to come back to warmer weather, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because she's gone from Dubai where it's nice and warm.
You often see that, don't you? So some years you'll have horses that stayed in Dubai will come back and immediately hit the ground running. And some, it's almost like a trend.
Yeah.
So some will, if a few aren't going, it's best to avoid the others.
Yeah, exactly. I just think going from the warmth of Dubai to the coolness of spring so far, especially come Newmarket the weekend. I mean, they've forecast there may be a frost on Friday night, quite remarkably. Mm. So my complete wardrobe for the weekend has got to be rehauled already.
Shorts.
Yeah, that'd be gone. Long gone. Took me ages to dig them out as well. But no, in all seriousness, Miss France, I know she ran terribly at Maison Lafitte in the Prix en Prudence. But if there's any man who can... get her ready to go, Andre Fab is a master, and she's got form at the track. Hopefully they'll go a good gallop and that will help her. And at those prices, I would maybe side for her, because he wouldn't run her if he didn't think she could win. Just doesn't run horses in Britain if he doesn't think they can win. So I remember, in fact his last three runners in Britain have all won, which as far as I'm aware are Miss France when she won the Osho Sharp Stakes at Newmarket, Intello when he won the Field and in April last year, and before that Pour Moi in the Derby. So he doesn't run them unless he thinks they can win. So at 8-1 each way, I'm prepared to take a small chance.
Okay, and as for the 2,000 guineas, Kingman is even money. Australia 3-1, Tourmore 5-1, Kingston Hill is 10s, 12 for Walkermand, 16 for Knight of Thunder, and Newshall Canarias, 20s or bigger the rest. But Kingman looks hard to get away from, but there are some really nice types in
here. And even money, I wouldn't want to back him.
Yeah.
You know, I think, yes, he's the most likely winner. I mean, the form of the Greenham's very good, and it was very impressive. And I think he's the most likely winner. One thing that slightly concerns me is the form of the John Gosden team. Having been literally flying, anything they ran was winning 3 weeks ago. Now... they're just picking up the odd, you know, the odds on favourites that should be winning are winning. So that concerns me ever so slightly. I don't have a strong view really on Australia. Kingston Hill, I'm not convinced will be quite quick enough if the ground's on the decent side, which it looks as though it might be because we are forecast for a dry week. I think if the ground's decent, Walker Mand will actually run well. I mean, if you put the Coventry and Dewhurst winner into the Guineas last year, you get Dawn Approach, who was 11-8. So I think he will probably outrun his odds. But if you gave me a tenner to have a bet, I'd back to more each way.
Okay. Fair enough.
So I think he was... he wasn't 100% in the Craven. And I think that...
You seldom get Hannon and Hughes horse combinations in this kind of race that run a bad race.
Yeah, exactly. Even there, I mean, I know they've... I remember years gone by when they've had horses with big prices that have ran well. Horses like Redback and Tamburlaine, who were not very good, where Tamor is good.
Yeah.
So, I think I'll take a chance with Tamor at this stage.
Okay.
But if they all get there, those sort of five horses at the top of the betting that you've just read out, it will be a fabulous, fabulous race.
It will indeed. That's the Monday jury then. We're now going to look at three races at Punchestown on Tuesday. The first is coming up at 4:20. It is the Herald Champion Novice Hurdle, a Grade 1 contest over 2 miles. 8 runners down to go to post. And, well, it looks like for Heans to lose, really.
Yeah. I'd love to be able just to get into the mind of Uncle Willie just for a small period to see why, or just wonder why Fachin, having won so impressively over 2 mile five, has run 4 times over hurdles, 2 mile 4 to 3 miles, has dropped back to 2 here at Punchestown, and Vautour, who was devastatingly impressive over 2 at Cheltenham, has gone up, likely to go up to 2.5 on Friday.
But how often does he get it wrong?
Well, that's it. Yeah, I mean, it's not me questioning his
placing.
It's just the thought process behind it. What, you know, is he sort of seeing how fast Fahin is or how much stamina Vautour's got? You know, which one is it really? But yes, as you say, it is Fahin to lose in theory. I would imagine having superior stamina will seem fairly well prominent and making it a fair test. Of the opposition, Val Solido, well beaten at Cheltenham by Vautour, but won well back at Fairy House 3 weeks ago. And I think he's a nice horse, Val Solido. He beat Real Steel and Quick Big Vic and Wicklow Brave all on that occasion. Wicklow Brave, for me, is probably, I think, over the top now. He's had a few runs this season. Although his form early season was all right, he's not performed the last twice, and I'm happy to swerve him. Western Boy, I think, will run a decent race. He ran okay when he was in front of Val Solido at Cheltenham, and has got very similar form, and they're both at around the 8-1 mark, so they're very well matched, so they should be the same price really. Sergeant Reckless, to me, ran well at Cheltenham, ran well at Aintree, but I don't think he's good enough. I just think he'll run well,
yeah,
like he did there, but not win. And the Liquidator needs to bounce back after a poor effort at Cheltenham, when he was expected to bounce back after a poor effort at Kempton. And now the jury's out a little bit after 2 disappointing runs. So very much Fahin's to lose, I think. And to chase him home, I'll go with a Western Boy.
Okay, agreed. We've got Fahin at 4-5, Valsolido at 5s, 7-1 for Sergeant Reckless, 10s for Real Steel and Western Boy, 12s or bigger the rest. Next up is the 5:30 from Punchestown. It is the Champion Chase, a Grade 1 contest over 2 miles. 10 runners down to go to post. Really, really interesting contest this. Hidden Cyclone in at 7-2, Module and Summersby at 4s, Twin Light at 7s, 8s for Bailey Green, 9 for Sizing Europe, 10s for Ballynagore, 12s or bigger the rest. But you could give a chance to most of these because it isn't the strongest race, if you like, but it's a decent betting heat.
It is a very decent betting heat. As a result, it's competitive, this ballsports.com Champion Chase. Hidden Cyclone's been very consistent all season. You can't knock him. 3rd in the Paddy Power Gold Cup, 2nd at Leopardstown over Christmas, 2nd in the Clarence House Chase to Sir de Gruge, 2nd to Dynast in the Ryanair. Had a nice break since then. Very solid, rightful favourite, I think, just about. Module, closely matched with Summersby, but the twice they've met this season, Summersby has come out on top. First of all, at Exeter in the Holden Gold Cup, and then when he picked up the scraps at Cheltenham. And I think he is a solid Grade 2 horse, but not much more. Ballynagore, two best career performances have been after a long absence. He actually backed up his Cheltenham win with a good third at Aintree. But again, that third is not good enough. And obviously, he dropped significantly in trip as well. Then we've got the old boy, Summersby. Had a bit of a miss out last season, but he's been seen to almost near his best this year, in fairness to him, winning the Heldon Gold Cup, twice runner-up to Sardar Grouji as well. And on the basis of Sardar Grouji, he's probably the best horse that we've seen this National Hunt season. That's the best form, just about.
Yep.
But he's untrustworthy, Summersby. And then Sizing Europe, who is only twice finished out of the first three at Punchestown in 15 starts. Mm. Once was fourth, and the other he fell. He's won there seven times. He gave Sprinter Sacra a fair fright in this race last year. He won it in 2012, and he ran really, really well at Cheltenham, I thought. Turning into the straights, I did think for a while that he might actually go close. If Andrew Lynch doesn't go off so quickly as he did at Cheltenham, he's a bit more conservative. There's still some life in those old legs, and I think that at 9-1, Sizing Europe,
yes, 9-1,
you'll get a very good run for your money.
Okay, fair enough.
In a very tricky race to pin one down, I'd rather back him each way, knowing that he likes the course. He's still performing at a very high level despite his age. He's had a nice break, you know, and conditions will be perfect for him.
I'd agree. I'd take Bailey Green at 8-1. I don't think it'll win, but I think it's got possibly the best chance of placing.
Yeah.
Always seems to run its race.
Yeah.
See that. Barring one or two minor mishaps. So, okay, final race that we'll look at is the 6:40 from Punchestown. It is the Champion Novice Chase, a Grade 1 contest, 3 miles, 1 furlong the trip. 7 runners don't go to post. This is really, really fascinating. Jackadam 9-4, Morning Assembly 11-4, Bally Casey 9-2, Don Cossack 11-2, Carlingford Lock 6-1, 12 for Muzzletov, and 40s the outsider letter of credit. There's two I really like here in Morning Assembly and Carlingford Lock. I know you like Carlingford Lock quite a lot.
I like Morning Assembly.
See,
as well,
I didn't like Carlingford Lock at Cheltenham. I was very much against it, but still ran an okay race, I suppose. Morning Assembly
I thought he was given a lot to do at Cheltenham.
And Morning Assembly is really exciting. Yeah. And the fact that we discussed that with the Gold Cup in mind suggests that this would almost represent, not a drop in class as such, but they're both Grade 1s. But I think if pushed, I'd be with Morning Assembly here, just.
Yes, I would agree. Him and Carlingford Lock are the two that I like. I've noticed maybe it might be me just being a little bit reading too much into it, but William Mullinger's got three runners in this race.
Mm-hmm.
One of them has unseated on two of his last three starts. One of them fell last time out. The other one fell last time out and then fell in schooling just before that. And so, you know, his novices are not bomb-proof in that sense at all.
In fact, the jumping in general, I mean, Don Cossack has fallen, Carlingford Lock has unseated.
Carlingford Lock was unlucky, though. He did
granted,
make a mistake.
He
was unlucky. But I know what you're saying.
But
you're
only left with Morning Assembly of the main market principles that has not
fallen over.
And letter of credit, yeah.
Yeah, he's not fallen over fences, I know.
No.
Jack Adams, 5. There's still going to be more to come from him.
Gets a lot of weight, though.
And he gets a lot of weight. Mm. I think it's a combination of the fact that he was still travelling well at Cheltenham and he gets a lot of weight, which is why Ruby's on him, and thus that's why he's a short price.
Mm. Too short, though.
But too short, because he's in there against some good horses, and I think that he's only short because Ruby's on him. Whichever one Ruby had ridden would be favourite, I think. Personally.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair, yeah.
So, yeah, and I'm happy to take on the Willys 3, to be honest. Bally Casey, I can't have him now. He fell in schooling. He jumped all right at Cheltenham when he was 4th. I mean, he had that race at his mercy last week at Fairy House when he fell late on. It was only 9 days ago. And basically, he did run the full trip. It's not like he fell early on and it turned out again quick.
Yeah.
He fell 2 out. And Muzzletov, I'm not convinced he's good enough anyway, but his jumping is...
suspect.
Prone to make one mistake which catches him out, Muzzletov. And Punchestown's not a course that you can do that. A lot of Irish courses you can because they're not hard to jump around.
Mm.
Punchestown is.
Interesting that Paul Carberry takes that ride for the first time. Never ridden the horse before.
Yeah, I think that's basically because...
Do you think they'll just
David Russell
switch it off?
Well, I think David Russell's elected to ride Morning Assembly because obviously he would have had the choice because he's not retained by Gigginstown anymore. So they've then gone for the best two that were left in Barry Geraghty and Paul Carberry, which is fair enough. And yes, morning assembly, very exciting. Beaten by Carlingford Lock at Leppington over Christmas, very closely matched. Third behind O'Phelan's Boy at Cheltenham was a decent run. Well beaten, six lengths in the end, but it's hard to knock the run. He jumped well, he travelled well. And he's back at a meeting where his previous career best performance came when he won a novice hurdle at this meeting 12 months ago. So, yes, I'm with Morning Assembly. I think Carlingford Lock will be better back over in Ireland. I just hope AP's a little bit more positive on him than he was in the RSA because he was too far back.
I just think Carlingford Lock is more of a stamina horse.
Yeah, he'll pick up the pieces.
And I just think on this ground at this time of year, I can just see him just getting a little bit tap for toe.
And to be fair, on the subject of stamina, Ballycasey still yet to win over 3 miles over fences. Mm-hmm. He won over, obviously, 2-5 at Leopardstown. Was outstayed by Morning Assembly at Cheltenham on the flat. And then it was 2.5 when he was still travelling well at Fairy House. Same with Mazel Tov, same with Jack Adam.
Yeah.
So, as well as jumping, they've got stamina concerns as well.
Definitely holes to be picked in the Mullins one.
Yeah, exactly. So definitely stick with the two solid ones. Jump well, generally, Carlingford Lock. Stays well, both of them. And they've got closely matched form.
Okay. Lovely
stuff. I'd side just with Morning Assembly if you push me.
Only just. Yeah.
But only just.
Okay. Can you just spin us through your three picks in the three main contests at Punchestown on Tuesday, Mr. Powell?
Yeah, it's cracking card. Bit obvious. Fahin, though, I think will win the novices hurdle. Western Boy to hopefully chase him home. In the champion chase, a cracking competitive affair. And if I was going to have a bet, I'd back Sizing Europe each way. 7 wins at the track and only twice out of the first 3 in 15 runs there. And in the 6:40 at Punchestown, take on Uncle Willie's 3. Morning Assembly, Carlingford Lock, both very closely matched, and I'll just side with the former.
Okay, lovely stuff. We'll have Sean Quinn, Andy Holding and Gary Capewell in the studio on Tuesday. They'll take you through all of the action from Punchestown and all the domestic meetings, and they'll be live from 1:15 p.m.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.